Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Listen, the church cannot cover your sin, and the baptistry water cannot cover your sin, but Jesus can cover your sin when you come to him by faith.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and he has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Out from Your Doubt.
We need today to have fathers who have a vision, and we need today to have mothers who have a vision for a Christ-like home and a godly atmosphere. And we need today to have pastors who have a vision for the potential of the youth and the potential of the church, because without a biblical vision, then people will perish. And so it was, if Moses didn't get God's vision, an entire generation of people were going to perish. Moses had a lack of faith. He had a lack of vision. Now maybe his lack of vision was because of his past failures. You see, as Moses was there in Egypt's land, some of these Jewish people, the Hebrew brothers, said to him, "Hey, who do you think you are? Who made you the boss over us? We saw that murder that you did." And Moses, no doubt, felt at that moment like anything but a leader. In fact, as soon as they said that, he went hundreds of miles away to Midian. He remembered distinctly the words of failure, those words, "Who do you think you are?" He didn't see him as a leader. And some of you have had some words said to you, maybe when you were 8 or 9 or 10. "You're never going to make it. You're ugly." Maybe you've had someone say to you, "You know what, as a teacher, you're the dumbest student I ever had." Or maybe someone has said to you, "God can never use you." Maybe there is a past failure that is blurring your vision today. And I want to tell you something. Instead of listening to the accuser today, instead of listening to Satan today, I encourage you to listen to God, who is not finished with you yet. Moses had some stuff in his past. Some of you have some stuff in your past. But don't let that blur the vision of what God wants to do with your future. Lloyd-Jones said, "To dwell on the past simply causes failure in the present." To dwell on the past simply causes failure in the present. Hey, don't ruin your future by living in your past. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the Bible tells us as he was on the road to Damascus, he was converted. Why was he going to Damascus? He was going there to kill Christians. He was going there to throw Christians in prison. And that's why he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth towards those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Sometimes you've got to put your past failures behind you so that you can accomplish what God has for you in the future. I heard about two kids that were outside playing, and a little boy took a rock and he threw it and he killed one of his family's chickens. And he said it was an accident, and knowing boys, I'm not sure that it really was, but whether it was or not, he figured nobody would notice. He buried the chicken. After he got done burying the chicken, his sister said, "I saw what you did, and if you don't wash my dishes, I'm telling Mom." Well, the boy did dishes for days and days. And finally, he went to his sister. He said, "You wash them." She said, "No way. I'm going to tell Mom." He said, "I already told her, and she forgave me, and I'm free again." Can I tell you something? You can be free again. The devil may be holding something over your head like blackmail. The devil might say, "Why? If you ever sang up in that choir, somebody might walk in and they might see you and then remember what you did way back when. Hey, I got to tell you something. If you're saved, your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's as far as the east is from the west. Don't let your past sin blur your vision about tomorrow. Maybe it was because of past failure. Maybe he had a lack of vision just because of a lack of faith. In fact, it's interesting to me in verse 1, he says, "But behold, they will not believe me." Warren Wiersbe says, that's just another way of saying, I don't believe you, God. See, some of you say, you know, I would try to witness and tell somebody about Jesus, but they're not going to believe me. No, the question is not whether they believe you. The question is whether you believe God. Because God has promised that his word will never return unto himself void. God has promised that he will bless his word. So we see the reluctance of Moses. But notice secondly today, the revelation of God. Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Notice God's power demonstrated. God says, "Moses, I understand you're having a little trouble believing. I understand you seem to feel like this isn't going to work. So let me demonstrate my power." And he asked this question. He says, "What is that in thine hand?" Now, this is very significant. What is in thine hand? Would you say that with me? What is in thine hand? One more time. What is in thine hand? This is where it always begins. You say, "But I don't have anything. I don't have much in my hand." I just want you to understand that God is going to ask you what is in your hand, not what is in someone else's hand, but what is in your hand. Like the boy at the feeding of the 5,000, and they said, "There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" You see, it's not a matter of how much or how little you have. It's a matter of, will you yield it to God? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I don't have much, I don't know much, I'm not much, but what I have, I give to you," you see. And this was why God said, "Moses, what is in thy hand?" And he says, "A rod." And he says, "Now throw it down." And it immediately becomes a snake. I believe it became a cobra snake. The cobra was the symbol of the Pharaoh. It was a symbol of Egyptian power. And that cobra snake now crawling down at the feet of this man, Moses. And now I see Moses doing the smartest thing he's done all day long. The Bible says he fled from it, or he ran away from it. Here we see a frightening moment for Moses. This rod becomes a serpent, and he fled from before it. I remember years ago when we first came to Lancaster, 1986, and I was out door knocking, and I met a lady at her home and invited her to church and asked if my wife and I could come back that evening, and we came back and talked to her and her husband, and we began to share the gospel with them, and they were gloriously saved in their living room. It was wonderful, not far from here, maybe a mile or two. And after they got saved, he said, "I'd like to show you something kind of cool." I said, "Yeah, great." And we'd been there already probably a couple of hours, and I'd been through many verses about baptism and assurance of salvation and so forth. He said, "I want to take you into a room and show you my hobby." I thought, all right. And we go into a room, and I'm telling you, 3 walls of this room were covered with fish aquariums, but they weren't filled with fish. They were filled with Mojave green rattlesnakes. And this guy has a hobby of going out into the fields with sticks and putting a stick on the neck of a Mojave green and then picking it up, throwing it in a burlap sack, bringing it to his house, and putting it in those aquariums. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this guy is nuts. I mean, I'm glad he got saved and everything, but this is weird. And his wife's kind of looking at me, and my wife like, "Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it?" And I was thinking to myself, there's no way on earth I'd ever sleep in this house. I'd be waking up at night thinking, are they getting out? Are those aquariums good aquariums? I mean, I'm just one of those people. I'd just be thinking thoughts like that all night. In fact, we had to actually give marriage counseling to them because the wife was so filled with anxiety, she couldn't stay in the house. And I think ultimately, the man may have chosen the snakes. I'm not sure. By the way, fellas, If your wife has something like that that you're afraid of, if it's snakes, kill the snakes. You say, well, I'm an animal lover and I believe in animal rights. Okay, kill the snakes. Animal lovers get no rights around here when it comes to snakes. I'm just telling you. His wife was so afraid of snakes. The Bible tells us that Moses jumped back in fear. But then notice what God tells him in verse 4. He says, now take it by the tail. I don't know about you. I'd have a little trouble grabbing this big old cobra by the tail. But the Bible says Moses took it up and it became a rod again in his hand. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. God is saying, Moses, I know you have your doubts, but don't forget who you're talking to. Don't forget what I can do. He says, Moses, why don't you go ahead and put your hand into your bosom there in verse number 6. Put your hand in towards your stomach. And when he took it out, it was filled with leprosy. Leprosy was feared by the Egyptians. They had tried many different times to make medicines to cure leprosy. They had many lepers' camps. It was recorded in the history of the Egyptians. It was a dreaded disease indeed. And God is simply saying in this lesson, look at now, Moses, you know that over there in Egypt with all their gods and with all their wisdom, they've never been able to do anything about the leprosy problem. But Moses, put your hand back into your stomach and take it back out. And when he did, he was completely healed. God was saying, all of Egypt has tried to heal and all of Egypt has tried to cure leprosy and I've been able to do it right here instantly. Moses, don't forget, you're not dealing with the gods of Egypt. You're not dealing with the gods of this world. You're dealing with the I am God. And our God is a cleansing God. Our God is a powerful God. And may I say to those of you that may be visiting with us today, that leprosy is a type of sin. It eats away and it destroys. It destroys the heart. It destroys the home. And there's only one way to have forgiveness of sin, and that is by coming to Jesus Christ, who cleanseth us from all of our sin. For the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. The same God who cured leprosy is the God who cures sin when we come to Jesus Christ and ask him to cover us with his blood, to forgive us. He says, I'll cleanse you from your sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Listen, the church cannot cover your sin, and the baptistry water cannot cover your sin, but Jesus can cover your sin when you come to him by faith. His power is demonstrated. And his promise is declared to Moses. Notice in verse 8, it shall come to pass if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign or the latter sign. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. God says, look, Moses, if they don't believe by the sign of the rod, if they don't believe by the purifying of your arm, then I want you to take water out of the river Nile, and I want you to pour it down on the ground, and I want you to see that it'll turn to blood. He said, Moses, I just want to declare to you that I am God and that I am with you. And sometimes we say, well, it's just impossible that that man could ever be saved. And God says, with me, all things are possible. And sometimes we say, but I just can't do it. And God says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And sometimes we say, but I'm just too tired. And God says, come unto me, all you that are weary, and I will give you rest. And sometimes we say, but I'm just kind of worried about the outcome if I try to stand up for Jesus. And God says, cast all of your cares upon me. And sometimes we say, but I just can't go on. It's just so difficult. And God says, but my grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes we say, but I just can't figure things out. And God says, I will direct your steps. And sometimes we say, but I'm not able. And God says, but I am able. And sometimes we say, but I can't manage. And God says, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And sometimes we say, but I'm afraid. And God says, but I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And sometimes we say, but I feel all alone as I stand for Jesus. And God says, but I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Listen, we've got to determine today, are we going to listen to Satan or are we going to listen to God? It's time that some of us started listening to God's promise once again. God says, I declare to you that you don't need to fear. You're not going to be defeated. We must begin to live not by reason, but by revelation. Not by what we think, but by what God says. The reluctance of Moses is matched by the revelation of God who speaks his truth and who demonstrates his power. But notice finally this morning, the resources of God. It's one thing for God to say what he will do. It's another thing for him now to show. And not only has he shown the miracles of the snake and the leprosy, but look at verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Some people say that Moses had a stuttering problem. I don't know how it would have sounded. He may have gone to the Jewish people and said, excuse me. Can I tell you something? I don't know if that's how it sounded, but he was slow of speech. He had a problem with getting the words out. This no doubt was another reason he thought God had chosen the wrong guy. And notice what it says in verse 11. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You see, Moses completely forgot who he was talking to. He's talking to the I am. Remember last week? I am. I am eternal. I am all powerful. He says, by the way, I'm the creator God. By the way, and I want you to notice this, church, just real quickly. He said, I want you to know I make man's mouth. I make the dumb. I make the deaf. I make the seeing. I make the blind. I want to tell you something. God makes those who have knowledge to understand, and God creates those with Down syndrome, and God creates those who can see, and God creates those who cannot see, and no doctor and no medical plan has the right to murder the little unborn child in its mother's womb just because they sense a defect. God makes life, all life. Amen. He's the sovereign creator of life. He says, Moses, you don't have to tell me about your tongue. You don't have to tell me about your cleft palate. You don't have to tell me, folks, about your hurting hip, your arthritis, your snap, crackle, and pop when you get out of bed. You don't have to tell me about all the reasons why you can't. I am God, and I can, he says. I created you. I know you. You see, God is creator. So God created man in his own image. God is the creator. John Glenn, the famous astronaut, said to look out the window as I did that first day and to look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible. Friend, this morning you don't need to explain your deficiencies to God. He knows them. He knows your past, your present, your future. He knows your abilities, your inabilities. He created you. He knows you. He not only is your creator, but he wants to be your teacher. He wants to help you know how to succeed. Notice in verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You see, Jesus has promised that the Holy Ghost will teach us and will show us what we ought to say. I can't tell you how many times I've witnessed to someone in their home or maybe in a coffee shop and they will ask questions and I'll be sharing with them about the truths of God and suddenly verses pop into my mind, verses I didn't rehearse that morning. I'm not talking about my wisdom. I'm talking about the Word of God, and God's Spirit brings them to my mind and God teaches me as I teach someone else. I'm saying it's not of me. It's not my word. It's not my power. It's not by my strength. It's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Hey, does anybody in here this morning want to live on that level, or do you just want to live on the level of what you can do and what you can say and what you can see? Do you want to keep making excuses and keep doubting, or do you want to start believing and let God lead you as your creator and your teacher and use you to make a difference in this generation? God says, Moses, you can keep making excuses. You can keep saying how hard it is to win souls and how it's so hard to get a class to grow or how it's so hard to change a neighborhood or so hard to have a godly marriage, or you can just let me teach you and show you how to get it done. That's the God that we serve. Thirdly, God is our helper. Moses felt kind of unable. But notice what happens here in verse number 13. And he said, "Oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Now this is a little bit of pretense on the part of Moses, because he's calling him Lord, but he's not really making him Lord, is he? Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Moses is saying Lord, but not really letting God be the Lord. Are you willing to let God be the Lord? Are you willing to let God have control of your life? Notice what God says in verse 14. "The anger of the Lord was kindled over Moses again. And he said, 'Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thee, with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God.'" Folks, I want you to try to get this in your mind quickly. Moses is in Midian. The children of Israel are in Egypt. God is here speaking in Midian to Moses about his needs, and Moses is explaining, I don't think I have the ability, and I have problems speaking. And suddenly God says, "I think that's Aaron coming right now." "Oh yes, it is. It's Aaron, and he's happy to see you. And yes, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and you're going to tell him what he needs to say." And what I want you to realize is simply this: God already has the solution coming if you'll just start obeying him. God sent Aaron hundreds of miles to this point to intersect with them at that immediate point. Listen, with God's calling comes God's enabling. Say, "Well, if I gave, I don't know if I really could." No, listen, God may have another job right now, and he may have another raise for you, and he may have another way, and God may have a way for you. But listen, you've got to learn how to trust God. My friend, God is able. God is not limited. He is our helper. In fact, look what happens in verse number 27. The Bible says in Exodus 4:27, "And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him." Isn't that wonderful? God provided. God provided a way. Look at verse 31. "And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped." Now, you can live your life by reason and doubt, or by revelation and deliverance. Some of you need to get out of the doubt this morning. Some of you this morning need to realize that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And just trust what God is saying. There may be someone here today who doubts that God loves them, who doubts that they would ever go to heaven. You may doubt that God really would ever forgive all of your sin. And I want to tell you, Satan wants you to doubt that. And Satan does not want you to have assurance. But God wants you to have assurance that he loves you and that his son Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He doesn't want you to live in doubt. He wants you to live with deliverance today. And if you've never known his delivering power from your sin, then even today you could come to Jesus Christ and call upon his name, and he would forgive you and he would save you from your sin. Don't live in doubt when there's a deliverer, when there's a savior, when there's an I am who wants to lead you on in faith.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.